This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Thanks for being with us on this Monday. And congratulations to Eagles fans, especially our friends listening on WHYY in Philadelphia today. Super Bowl 52 went to those Philadelphia Eagles, a score of 41-33 over the New England Patriots. Philly quarterback Nick Foles led the Eagles offense to a huge night and a championship. And that trick play in the second quarter shocked everyone, gave Philly an early lead. Meanwhile, trick plays, they're not just for the Super Bowl, because over the weekend, President Trump peered into the FBI's playbook, as outlined in the infamous Nunes memo, and concluded that the Federal Bureau of Investigation used trick plays to try and hurt Trump. The tricksters? FBI leaders who used politically generated information to get surveillance warrants on Trump advisor Carter Page, the president says, despite the fact that Page had been under surveillance for years already. Another trick, former FBI Director James Comey announcing just days before the 2016 election that the investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails was reopened. Comey didn't say anything about the investigation into contacts between the Trump campaign and Russians. Still, the president agrees with the Wall Street Journal that the FBI is a tool of anti-Trump political actors, and the president says the Mueller investigation, looking at obstruction of justice, is an American disgrace. It can be easy to lose sight of what a remarkable moment this is. The president of the United States training his political power publicly on the FBI, including appointees that he chose.
Well, this is unprecedented. We've never had a president so publicly attack the FBI.
Douglas Charles is associate professor of history at Penn State University at the Greater Allegheny campus.
Now, in the past, there have been times when there have been disagreements between presidents and the FBI. And even times, such as with President Nixon, that the president tried to stop an FBI investigation, for example, into Watergate. But all of that has always been done behind the scenes. So the fact that a president would publicly attack the FBI, and even beyond that, have allies in Congress joining him in doing that, this is completely unprecedented. We've never seen this before.
And I want to talk about those allies in Congress in just one second, Douglas Charles. But talk about these conflicts. I mean, there have always been conflicts between the FBI and presidents. You mentioned that they tend to play out behind the scenes. What's changing? What's different? Is it just the personality of the current president, or is there something more?
Well, there's always been a component of personality in the relationship between FBI directors and the president. But in this case, it seems to be a partisan political attack in an effort to shut down the FBI's Russia probe. And from what I can tell, unlike, for example, Nixon, where he was doing it by trying to use the CIA to get the FBI to stop its investigation on national security grounds, and he also had his own man in there as FBI Director L. Patrick Gray trying to stop the Watergate investigation, in this case, Trump's strategy seems to be a public attack in discrediting the FBI. And if the FBI could lose stature, then this would perhaps, I mean, who knows, end the investigation or reduce it to something not believable.
Well, given what you know about the FBI's history and the way that it's structured, a lot of people suspected very strongly. In fact, there was some reporting that the president thought that if the Republican memo from the House Intelligence Committee impugned Rod Rosenstein, the deputy attorney general, that it could lay the pretext for the president to fire him. And by firing Rod Rosenstein, he might eventually be able to weaken or get rid of the special counsel. Bob Mueller, do you see that pattern?
That definitely is a pattern. That does seem to be the strategy of what's going on here. On the other hand, I don't think it's succeeding. There doesn't seem to be anything within this brief four-page memo that really indicts Rosenstein or really the FBI.
America has a history, though, if you look back a few decades, Douglas, of an extremely muscular, quite clandestine, and at certain points, a very secretive FBI under the leadership of J. Edgar Hoover. Talk a little bit about Hoover's tenure, his long tenure at the head of that organization, and then how Congress tried to change the FBI's relationship with the American people, essentially, after Hoover was gone.
Right. J. Edgar Hoover served as FBI director for almost 50 years. And the dynamic of when he was director was that on the one hand, he had a very excellent public relations machinery in place and purposely put forward this image of the FBI as moral, upstanding, professional investigators who always did everything properly. And then behind the scenes, of course, he was engaged in collecting non-criminal political intelligence, spying on civil rights activists, spying on minority groups and political opponents. And so that was the way things were handled in the Hoover era. And after Hoover's abuses became public following his death in the 1970s, Congress worked to try to enact an FBI charter, encoding into law what exactly the FBI could and could not do. Now, that never happened, and in place of that, we have a series of Justice Department guidelines defining the way the FBI carries out investigations, the way the FBI communicates with the White House. So ever since the 1970s, the FBI has been very professional, very upstanding in how it conducts its work. So the fact that in the course of its doing its job here, that it would be attacked as partisan just simply doesn't fit with the times, not at all.
Well, the CIA has a charter. They're not allowed to operate domestically. They're not supposed to participate in assassinations of world leaders they don't like. Why doesn't the FBI have one?
Right, exactly. The CIA does have a charter dating from 1947. Just the origins of the FBI are different. It was founded in 1908, and Congress never authorized the existence of the FBI. Instead, it was established through executive mandate by President Teddy Roosevelt. And afterwards, there was debate over whether this should happen, but the president convinced Congress that the FBI was needed, and it funded the FBI. But there is no charter defining precisely what the FBI can and cannot do. We simply have those guidelines, and those are Justice Department Attorney General created guidelines that can be changed at any time.
Well, Douglas, I want to talk a little bit about House Republicans. You mentioned them. It's one thing to see a commander-in-chief with a certain personality or certain theories about his own government attacking the intelligence community or attacking the FBI. It's quite a different thing to see Republicans in Congress aid in this effort and really come to the president's side to try to make the case for him. Talk about Republicans in Congress and whether that situation is remarkable to you.
This is a very remarkable situation. Historically, there's always been one fan or supporter of the FBI in Congress, and that has been the Republican Party. And in fact, the FBI's relationship with congressional committees going back in history has always been one mostly of committees being deferential. During the Hoover years, congressional committees oftentimes received covert and secret help from J. Edgar Hoover. They received FBI information, all based on the understanding that this information would never be made public, this information would never be revealed as having come from the FBI, and if committees did that, Hoover would cut them off. Now, that, of course, that sort of behavior ends after the 1970s, and so after the 70s, what the FBI then does is to provide oversight committees with information, but also on the understanding that this information would not be released. And that's exactly what happened here with the House Intelligence Committee. The FBI provided sensitive information about the Russia probe, and then the committee, in a partisan political manner, made it public for their own interests and the president's interests.
So what's going on now? I mean, why is the relationship between the FBI and House Republicans different now than it has been historically?
The only thing I can think to explain that is a partisan motive. The president wants to shut down the Russia investigation, and he has allies in Congress to help him do that. Now, we can compare this to Nixon. In the Nixon days with Watergate, he had no allies in Congress to help him try to stop the Watergate probe. And so on his own, Nixon did that behind the scenes. So this is a completely different dynamic. This is totally new and quite concerning.
Oversight is important, and I don't think most people who've watched the relationship between Congress and the FBI over the last couple of decades think that oversight has been everything that it could be. Republicans claim that this memo is just a form of oversight. Could it lead to the public knowing more about the FISA courts, the secret process, and whether anyone in law enforcement might have abused that process? That's important.
Well, this isn't oversight. The way oversight works is a committee forms. They invite the FBI director or anyone else to appear before the committee and answer questions. That has not happened here. They've simply taken information the FBI has provided and made it public. The FBI director even offered to appear before the committee and answer their questions about this, but they turned him down. So that indicates to us that this is a purely partisan effort and not really an effort at oversight. I mean, oversight doesn't work by leaking information. Oversight works by asking probing questions.
So, Douglas Charles, I guess we'll see whether the memo in the end is a dud or whether it provides the president a pretext to fire Rod Rosenstein and hobble the Russia investigation. We don't know that yet. But what are we looking at here if President Trump and his administration succeed in discrediting the FBI in the eyes of Congress and, more importantly, in the eyes of the American people?
Well, this is a very concerning thing. One reason the FBI succeeds so well is because it has a reputation. This is a long, long established reputation as professional investigators, and particularly so after the Hoover years, the FBI worked very hard to repair its image as an upstanding professional organization. And by discrediting it, by knocking it down a few pegs, that is an effort to make its work at least appear illegitimate. And that is clearly a strategy to reduce the effectiveness of its investigation into the Russia probe. So if this is successful, the fear would be that the FBI would stop being an independent agency and fall back into orbit around the president doing his bidding, like had been the case oftentimes under J. Edgar Hoover in the old days.
And I'll tell you, Douglas, I never thought I would see a day, even 5 or 6 years ago, that one of the preeminent anti-terrorism law enforcement organizations in the United States government, tasked with protecting Americans, would become the target of the commander-in-chief.
Absolutely. This is unexpected, and I think reflects the strange, very strange times we live in.
Douglas Charles, Associate Professor of History at Penn State University, the Greater Allegheny Campus. Doug, thanks.
Thank you.